So dietary guidelines is extremely important, and I think what everyone should also know is that NCBA works on dietary guidelines every single year. So even though every 5 years, the Department of Agriculture, USDA, and the Department of Health and Human Service, they come together and they form an advisory committee of nutrition and health professionals, and this advisory committee spends about 3 years reviewing the most recent nutrition scientific information that's out there. It's part of this database called the Nutrient Evidence Library, the NEL, and their final task is to make a determination if they make changes from the previous dietary guidelines. So in 2010, we got the 2010 dietary guidelines and the MyPlate that everyone's pretty familiar with. And even though we had that in 2010, in 2011, NCBA started working on the 2015 dietary guidelines. And where we sit right now, they've actually had 4 meetings. Their 4th meeting was just a couple of weeks ago, a webinar. They will have 1 more meeting in mid-September. And then towards the end of December, they might have their final meeting to unveil their policy report, or they might just unveil that report. That's not quite known yet. That policy report will then go to the secretaries of USDA and HHS, and they have the ability to make some changes to that, keep it as is, possibly even, you know, make some significant changes to it, and then that's going to be the foundation of the 2015 dietary guidelines. Why this is so important and why NCBA dedicates so much staff and so much of our producer dollars to this is because this is the foundation for all nutrition policies. So for those listening that were upset about the school lunch notifications a few years ago on the maximums for protein, all that was based off of the dietary guidelines from 2010. So we, from a policy standpoint, have to make sure we get the 2015 dietary guidelines in a great place, because for the next few years on the school lunch reauthorization that will be up next year, and Congress will be talking about that, when you look at our military feeding programs, our senior feeding programs, our children feeding programs, all that is based off of the dietary guidelines. So it's very important. They've been talking about other topics that we would argue are not in their scope. So NCBA has played a very aggressive role in meeting with the agency, working with a broader coalition in Washington, even outside of our typical kind of livestock poultry coalitions, to help bring awareness to how far these conversations are drifting outside of nutrition and health-focused discussions.
So when you say they're drifting outside of, are you referring to animal rights concerns or?
So the animal rights folks have obviously played a very more prominent role, as they did in the 2010 dietary guidelines, promoting a plant-based diet or a vegan diet. But most recently at the 3rd dietary guidelines meeting earlier in the spring, the committee started talking about the topic of sustainability, and they started asking questions specific to the beef industry and the seafood industry. And on the beef side, they were trying to ask questions on if grass-finished beef is more nutritious than grain-finished beef, and then if grass-finished beef is more sustainable than grain-finished beef. So obviously, NCBA shared our concerns about nutrition and health professionals trying to make, findings or trying to make recommendations based on animal production type research, because even, you know, they don't have the background or the expertise to even be able to review some of the scientific literature to be able to make those conclusions. And at the end of the day, how does sustainability fit into conversations talking about childhood obesity, et cetera? So we've met with USDA. We've also met with the Department of Health and Human Services. We've shared the concerns of the committee branching into topics that we would strongly say are outside the scope of the committee. We've got members of Congress that have sent a letter to USDA just to remind them of their scope. We have members of Congress that have asked questions. There's been several conversations, even at the appropriations discussions, talking to Vilsack about specifically, you know, what the direction of this committee is. So right now we're definitely doing a lot. Once that policy report becomes final, if any of the wording in there is problematic for our producers, you're going to hear NCBA saying a lot more publicly, since currently that report is still being formulated and put together. So we don't really have anything to say this is great or this is not so great, but we will as we get closer to the end of the year.
I know you're aware there's always talk in the country, concern that the animal rights, anti-meat people are infiltrating various levels of government, including the USDA. And what you're saying is you're seeing some of that.
Absolutely. HSUS and other groups became much more involved in the dietary guidelines in 2010. And, really, it is a focus now on all conversations. They don't just get involved on animal right or animal welfare issues anymore. We're starting to see them more involved in topics like antibiotics. They're more involved in working against us on coal and gypsum. They're also more involved on the environmental side, teaming up with environmental activist groups. And now we're seeing environmental activist groups now suing the Food and Drug Administration over technologies we use to protect animal health. So really in D.C., there is a larger focus of these groups getting very broad-based in a variety of issues that we're having to deal with outside of probably what is the traditional issues where they've really focused in the past.